I'm Jo Clark Hoshero. I'm an assistant administrator for a bunch of Debian boxes on BSD, mostly Debian. I couldn't actually think of any adjectives to put on the slide. I'm kind of sarcastic. I do things that are interesting to me that I wasn't going to assume that you guys wanted me to explain them or why they were interesting to me. So I think I'd just go on with the talk. And that's my cat. Originally, the talk ended up being kind of a little bit too doom and gloom. It's sort of the first time that I learned about security, I kind of felt like Howard Hughes must have when he learned about the germ theory of disease. You just end up looking at everything like it's a vector of infection and trying to scrub yourself off with granola and steel wool, and it still doesn't work. So, and this is what I found as a systems administrator. Just because you're a nerd, it doesn't mean that you're doing it right. I mean, a lot of people in the Linux community like to think that they're better than Windows. I mean, it's got the command line, which is very exciting. You have to type things in. You don't have pretty pictures. But it doesn't mean that you are doing security right. And in a lot of cases, it gives you a false sense of security. But this is a good example. This is, I don't know if you can see that, uptime. 431 days. This does not mean that Linux is stable and awesome. This means you don't patch your kernel. Ksplice is not a mature technology yet. I'm very sorry. And last time I tried to use it, it catastrophically broke sudo, which was a bit of a problem. Just because you're running a Linux conference doesn't mean you're doing it right. That is a photo from one of the organizers' Flickr streams from the knock room. I don't know if you can see it there. You can make it out in the original large size. That's the ESS ID and key for the organizers' wireless network. It's from the conference organizers' knock room downstairs. If you can't see why that's a problem, it would be like some truth is self-evident, you know, with deodorant. But in one slide, security is fundamentally asymmetric. They only have to find one way in. You have to block every way that they could possibly get in. The one way you forgot, they can still get in, they can still own you that way. Does anybody not know what happened to Google? Okay, so in the last couple of days, Google announced on their blog that they may be pulling out of China completely. They've stopped filtering results from google.cn. It's now, if you Google for Dalai Lama or Tiananmen Square, then you will get an unfiltered, unedited list. This is because, as far as anybody can guess, the Chinese government hacked Google. Not only Google, but 20 other companies as well, one of which was probably Adobe. Adobe put out a press release very soon after the Google blog post. The rumor is that Adobe got owned with an O-Day and an Adobe product, which is kind of hilarious and also depressing. So O-Day can happen to anyone. Google was owned with a zero-day, which is one of those. You cannot defend against zero-day. By definition, somebody put quite a lot of effort into this, which is why they think it was the Chinese government. I'll get on to the economics of it later, but the economics and the logistics of it suggest a fairly major kind of operation. They were specifically targeting the Gmail accounts of human rights activists in China, for example, that sort of thing. Some of them are compromised, some not. But and it wasn't just Google, it was 20 other companies as well, most of which have not made this public. More pictures make it big. You may not know it, but the bad guys may already be in your boxes. You can't tell until you look. And at that point, it explodes past you. And you're like, because not pushing the sofa to the back of the wall. And an example of zero day, that's not Google, sorry Google, was the SSH compensation bug. This was actually introduced in the security patch, unfortunately, but it was active in the wild for about 6 months before it was disclosed and patched. That was SSH to root. At least 6 months. You can't defend against that. Maybe you're filtering your list of IPs. Your SSH is secure. It's an encrypted protocol. It's not like you're using Telnet. It's like you're using IDC or some Windows thing. No, it doesn't matter. O-Day will get you. O-Day gets everybody. If it gets Google, it's going to get you. No. So the economics of it. This is something that I didn't realize until I started hanging around with white hat sellouts. Bugs are worth a lot of money. The Google one, there's a rumor that a guy was shopping an IE6 bug similar to the one that was used to own Google around Southeast Asia for about $250,000 US. That's not including the other companies that were owned by whatever method. There would be millions of dollars worth of bugs that somebody sold or somebody already hired people to produce. These things are worth serious money. I don't think that most vendors know this. If someone is going, I found a problem with your thing and I'm telling you about it, that guy, that girl, whoever is telling you, I'm going to give up this money that I could have made for free. I'm just telling you about it because I'm a decent person. So please don't get huffy and go, you were hacking with my stuff. You didn't do that. You're a bad person. You should talk to them and say, we've had a look at it. Yeah, you're right. Keep them in the loop. If you sell more to less reputable sources, you can get more money, of course. You can still sell it to, say, ZDI, which is fairly above board and a nice, clean way to make money, and they will hold it. They will interface with the vendor for you. You don't actually have to talk to them. They'll handle vendor disclosure. So if you're a white hat, your incentive is generally kudos. You'll get your name on an advisory. This actually works for Microsoft, more or less. Don't be Oracle. Oracle are horrible. There's a German guy that's got, how many is it, like 80 or something, Oracle bugs? And he's like, I've got these. And they're like, go away, you're a bad person. And by the way, we may be sending someone around to kneecap you. There's not much full disclosure anymore. I think the buzzword at the moment is responsible disclosure, where you don't just go on to full disclosure. You tell people who need to know quietly so they can patch it before it goes into the wild, at which point it's OD, at which point, you're owned. No more free bugs. This is some people's livelihood. They find a bug, they sell it. If you're getting, $200,000 US for a bug, you only have to find a couple a year, and you're living pretty well. You can't predict it. Sorry, Google. Google has the best people in the world. It didn't protect them. It mitigated it, and they're real freaking smart about how they handled it, but it didn't stop them from getting owned. And if it's not you specifically that gets owned, somebody around you is probably going to do it. Red Hat key signing service got owned. You go apt get blah or with Red Hat IPM whatever. Sorry, I used to be in. And you just expect, install it. It's like, this is free. You can just get it. It just works. What do you do if the package that you're getting are malicious, but they look legitimate because the key signing servers have been compromised? How do you? You don't know. Do you guys check your MD5 stumps every single time? Mr. Piper? Yeah, but you're paranoid. I'm not saying that that's not efficient. I'm just saying it's quite a lot of overhead and most people just don't bother. So you can't defend against O-Day. If someone's targeting you, you will get owned. You can be Google and get owned up nicely. But you still patch, right? Everybody patches. Patching is important. OD, yep, you can't really defend against OD, sorry. But two-year-old exploit, getting owned by a two-year-old exploit because you didn't patch it, it's just beyond embarrassing and negligent. In New Zealand, I'm not going to name names mostly because I'm not allowed to, but there was a hospital that got shut down fairly recently because it got taken out by Conficker because they hadn't patched. I have no words for that level. It's more of a systemic problem. I mean, how is that old and you... I mean, it can't be an isolated thing. It's not like, oh yeah, and we just didn't do the patch or config. It means they don't have a patch process. Their IT department was probably underfunded, blah, 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 blah. Didn't happen in isolation. You can harden things. I believe the Google hack happened even with, though they run GRSec kernels. That won't save you. There has been O-Day and GRSec kernels. Turn off unnecessary, everybody knows that, right? And require the first password that most crackers, most programs will try is the same as the username. Is there anybody in this room, and I know there are a couple, who is willing to put up their hand and say, yeah, actually, we did that. We had the username and the password set to be the same thing. Yeah, multi-user boxes are a whole pile of... Yeah. You can mitigate it with architecture. You can segment, you can put in a DMZ. I mean, computers that are on the internet probably don't need to talk to everything on the inside on every port. Right, so defense in depth. How many of you guys are familiar with this term? So it's not A and B. Sorry, it's not. It's A and B and C and D and E. It was originally a military term to say that, you know, we're probably going to lose, we're probably going to get conquered, but what we're trying to do is slow down and divert the occupying army. It's a way of tying up resources, of directing the effort or time they can put in. And sometimes this works. Sometimes they just give up and they don't attack your boxes anymore. Well, another thing you can do is external reviews. This is not very popular. A lot of people take it personally. It's their pet project. It's like someone has just gone, wow, you know, that's awful. And like, while you're lying on the ground, curled around your creativity, they're kicking you in the kidneys. But they're necessary. Sometimes you're too close to it. You can't see what the vulnerabilities are. You will need somebody else to look at it who actually knows what they're doing to go from scratch. And they may find a vulnerability that you've introduced that can be chained to another existing vulnerability, and all of a sudden you've gone from a remote exploit to a local exploit to inside the nice squishy center of your network. So I've been picking on sysadmins a bit because I am one, but I put this up as well, so pick on developers. This is from 2010. It's pretty much the same, there's only three different from 2007. If you're a web developer and you don't know what these are, how do you know you're not doing them? Banks do these. In the last month or so, I would have... So at least one bank has got four vulnerabilities that are on the OWASP top 10. Their developers are just not aware of them. They're not trying to fix them. And by the time you get an external reviewer in right at the end, maybe it's a little bit too late. Maybe it's out of scope. Maybe it's tied into a legacy system that'll be really hard to fix. And maybe it won't get fixed. So how do you tell if somebody is trying to access your boxes? How can you tell if someone has owned your boxes? Network intrusion detection systems are a nice idea. I would argue that they're hardly ever deployed properly. Say Snort, for instance, common open source one. All of their rules for triggering it are on their website, if you wanted to hide a legitimate attack, all you have to do is trigger a snort flood, and they will probably never see it. I would also guess that a lot of the commercial ones have a lot of the snort ones also rolled into them, so they would also be triggered by such an attack. And given the heterogeneity of most networks, unless you tune it properly, you're going to get so much noise, you probably won't notice the attack either. File integrity checking on key systems. Why has somebody got an extra SSH key? Why is there a .rhosts file? You need to check that these things are there. And back onto sysadmin stuff, because this is stuff that I know that I haven't done in the past because I was ignorant. Howard Hughes again. Verify your backups. You want to back up stuff, just in case. You also need to verify that you're backing the stuff up. You don't go, oh yes, we have a tape and it goes offsite. What is being written to the tape? Is it the important stuff? Do the tapes actually work after they've been sitting there for a year or so? And centralized syslogging. This is awful. I'm really sorry, but you actually do have to read the logs. This is really boring and it sucks, and I personally hate doing it, which is why I try and make sure that other people do it, but it's really useful. So if you get owned, try not to make a plan after you've been owned the first time. You will need your backups. I mean, part of being a sysadmin is knowing that smart people sometimes do stupid things. Another sysadmin, for example, could RMRF in the wrong folder. So could an attacker. You'll need to restore that folder fairly promptly running screaming monkeys. Various people will be very, very unimpressed. Also, forensics is really expensive. I don't know what it is in other countries. In New Zealand, it's about $300 an hour minimum. But if you don't know how they got in and you don't know how far they got in, how are you supposed to tell if you've cleaned up the infection? How are you supposed to tell if they can't do it again or if they're already? You might have cleaned the way or patched the way that they got in originally, but they may have left a back door. Check that they're not already there, lurking in your backups as well. You might go to use it and find. Write down what you did. When I found something that I thought had been compromised, it was like adrenaline goes, phew. I was on call. I was like, this was my first incident response. I didn't know what the Jesus I was doing. So I rang pretty much as many people as I could, higher up the chain to let them know that I thought this had happened. Then I started writing down what I'd done. If I touch a file, I need to know when I touched it. Did I change the timestamp? Was that the attacker? What's an artifact of what I did when people are running high on adrenaline and not communicating well? And what the function of what the attacker did? Are you guys crossing each other on the wrong system? Do you know? So, the sky's already fallen. I mean, Google got owned. The 20 top companies in the US, the Google ownage, I don't know if you guys know, it's so bad, Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State, is talking with Google about it. This is a state-level problem. The sky, but, and the bad guys, they're sort of sitting there with their whiskey. Going, we've been on the internet, the Russian mafia. There's a really interesting slide showing, a real interesting graph that I saw showing the drop-off in spam for a particular network about the same time that the Russian armor was invading Georgia. Well, about the same time Georgia's infrastructure got taken down by a DOS attack. So, yeah, spam networks may be used at a state level for warfare these days. The sky has already fallen. They have already won. They already have the single malt. The last time was nobody noticed. The internet still works. I've heard old telco engineers, sort of the days where when an exchange broke, you took it out all onto the road and you let it dry out and you assembled it again and it still worked. They'll tell stories about like 20 years ago, they were amazed that you picked up the phone and you got a dial tone. But the internet still works. use the internet. It mostly goes. You can buy things and you'll probably be okay. Like, as I said before, when I first started learning about this stuff, I felt like Howard Hughes in the Germ Theory of Disease. It's like these creepy, crawly, horrible things anywhere. I'm going to have to gargle with bleach every single day to even attempt to feel clean. But I use the internet. I buy things off the internet. I even use Flash sometimes. And it's mostly okay. So I would like to, I suppose, mitigate the shock and awe by saying it's mostly all right. But you may know about the germ theory of disease and that you may not feel like Howard Hughes anymore, but this doesn't actually excuse you from, say, not washing your hands after you've been to the toilet. There are still some fairly simple things you can do, which conveniently I've already mentioned. So, any questions? Yeah, I would say that's more of a cultural endemic to the institution than anything else. I've been told by a web developer that I was trying to get to come to a security conference here that I'm a web developer, I don't need to know about security. Oh, it's just sitting on the internet on port 80 and people are going to interact with it. But no, you don't need to know about security. I mean, what are they going to do? I mean, they could bounce to your database server or something interesting? Nah, not a chance. Yeah, there's another story about a company in New Zealand that I'm not sure anybody here works for, where the entire security posture of the organization changed almost overnight when the CEO's laptop got owned. Suddenly they took it personally. Actually, New Zealand's too small, so I can't even hint about what area it was in because we've got like two or three major ones in most markets. So, yeah. Anything else? No. Oh, I do know about Checkpoint. No. I'd say appliances and the ways that I've seen them used seem to cause more problems because people think of them as these sold as solutions, a little box that sits on your network and it fixes things. People don't seem to patch them. Or they seem to run on fairly old legacy kernels. And because taking those down, especially if they're a firewall, like the Checkpoint stuff, it has a major impact on the network. Sometimes they don't get patched as regularly as you could like, as you possibly would like them to, because it has such a major impact on customers. So you can't get the downtime within a couple of months or so. Yep. All right. I was involved in a security conference, and somebody involved in the conference who was not myself decided they want the higher quality printing. So we printed 500 of them, and I have some left over. If you would like one, and if I can get the bag open in time, has anyone got a knife or something on them? It's basically a list of things that hackers don't care about and your organization will. Scope, deliverables, legacy systems, et cetera, et cetera. I have a few of them up on the wall and a few of them up at work in a fairly unpolitic way with the name of the project on top and whatever excuses they've actually used ticked off. We have one each project because they tend to use different ones. Yep. There's no one single one. probably the most useful one is experience. Sorry to give you such a vague answer. It's when you've been hanging around systems long enough to just sort of get a feel when something's wrong, and then you dig at it a little bit, and then you're like, hey, were you messing with such and such? And they're like, no, what's doing it? Were you logged into blah? I saw your account. I thought you were... Yeah, it's sort of... Yeah, that's a big thing, is don't just, no, it's whatever, it's just acting up again. Go find something, or adjust your monitoring so you can know what's in a legitimate problem. Oh, it's bollocks. I would like to believe that it was true. I don't. Attackers can look at the source code too, can't they? People will like do a source code review and read through it, look for vulnerabilities. What's to stop them from doing it? Who says that they're going to find it and submit a patch? Maybe they're going to find it and exploit it and sell it for tens of thousands of dollars. Yeah, it was only six. Oh, that was only one vector. Like, they had spear phishing and a whole lot of targeted attacks and blah, blah, blah. Nobody knows, and well, if anybody knows, they're not telling. Not me, at least. Oh, the other, sorry, other interesting thing, they got some Gmail accounts, they only got the subject lines, which is kind of interesting, and I was thinking about, you know, how do you get someone's email stuff, yeah, I get the email address, who they're talking to, and only the subject lines. They got the lawful intercepts, the lawful intercept stuff that Google runs, they hack those instead. It's a really nice way of attacking the point that has the most information on it. Sorry, anybody else? Yep. Right, sorry.
And this is from Linux People. Thank you for organizing this mini conf. And you get it now because you just gave a lovely talk.